At the end of the bed, there's a window right across from me. And I remember my parents were sitting on the bed. And you've heard them talk about the aliens, how they kind of got the intercom thing where it speaks in your head, you know?
Yes.
They're like, I think it's the radio.
Telepathy, it's called.
Excuse me?
Telepathy, it's called.
Yeah, and so I got this idea in my head that the radio said there was a skeleton loose.
A what loose?
A skeleton.
A skeleton loose.
So at 5 years old, you know, and
yeah, fine.
So suddenly this thing comes through the window, and it moved like I've never seen anything move before. It was just, I can't describe it. I perceived it to be green. It could have been gray. And it sat down and crossed its arms and legs. It caused me to cross my arms and legs, and I was paralyzed. And I remember trying to fight it, and my dad saying, don't fight it, son.
Your dad said, don't fight it?
Right.
So your dad was right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess they were part of it, too.
Yeah, sounds like it. Don't fight it, son.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And so the next thing I remember is waking up in the bathroom there and telling my mother, and she said it was a dream. And
she did.
Daddy was looking at me.
Darling, it was only a dream. Come on.
Yeah. You know, are you suggesting to me that you, both your parents were in on your abduction?
What is it, son?
It started on its own. I didn't mean to. I was just thinking about the noise it made.
Well, that's all it takes. If you think hard about something, you can make it happen.
But I couldn't stop it. I tried.
Look. You'll be able to do lots of things. Don't be frightened. Use it when you need it.
What for?
Well, you'll know when the time comes. You'll feel it.
Like when you were hurt by that car. I knew what was happening.
Remember, it's our secret. We're a team, right?
Right.
We first met in Lisbon. I was 12. He was 14. We were running from the Nazis. I was with my parents. He had lost his.
Hi, Mom.
Our lives are filled with sad stories and good ones, too. We were teenage lovers. You followed some of our adventure, chasing Sam. Berlin, Paris, Lisbon, and then America.
Hold
Mom's upset.
Bet I'm upset.
To see you, Rachel. Looking well.
What are you doing here?
I'm back.
You're back? Back from where?
I'm sure.
You're not sure? You disappeared for 3 years without a word.
I don't know where I've been. I can't remember a thing until today. I saw Tony in the street, so I...
You want to come home? Like it was. That's it, isn't it?
I knew you'd come back. They didn't believe me.
Who's they?
3 years, Sam.
3 years.
What happened to me?
Don't do this to me. Done enough damage.
I know. Marjorie.
Look, things are over between us.
Let me finish.
You destroyed me not once, but twice. You wrecked what I thought was a happy marriage. You smashed our family to pieces. First, you betray me with your squalid infidelities. And after I forgive you because I'm still in love with you, you repay me by destroying the few things that you left unbroken. Have you any idea of what we went through when you left?
Second thing, rolling straight through the transmission, Henry.
All right. Drive it. Go to transmission.
In 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Stop your transmission. Yeah. Can you dig it?
Miles sees this stuff. He sees.
Carlos.
Blue. Yellow. Red. Person sitting by a window, blue hairband, yellow dress. She's sitting, hand folded. Could she be our daughter, Henry?
We're so thankful to have a daughter like you.
Are the shadows on the wall? The jug on the table. Red cut her face.
Go ahead, Lisa. So relieved. So mad at you guys. We thought you were dead.
Your mama was real worried about you, honey.
So weird. Sweetest, strongest woman. I'm so happy that you'll see me. Heidi? Come here. This is Heidi.
I'm fine.
You ran away before she was born. She has your mouth, Mother.
She likes it.
you so silent this evening?
Just tired, I guess. Sorry.
Damien, all right?
Oh, yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
If there were anything wrong, you'd tell me, wouldn't you?
Wrong? What could be wrong with our child, Robert? We're beautiful people, aren't we?
There is something wrong, isn't there? Kathy, is it so serious?
Robert, I need to see a psychiatrist. I have fears. I have such fears.
What kind of fears? What kind?
Oh, if I told you, you'd put me away.
Kathy, I love you. I love you.
Then help me. Find me a doctor.
I will. Of course I will.
Well, she knew how much you wanted one. Now she can't cope. She searches for reasons that will make her feel inadequate. She has these fantasies. She fantasizes that your child is alien, that your child is evil.
She thinks that the child is evil?
The point is that this time another child will be disastrous.
But in what way? Evil.
Now this is just fantasy. She also thinks the child isn't hers.
Donna, please. Donna, please listen.
I've heard enough.
Please just let me explain.
Donna.
Leave me alone.
It isn't your parents' fault. It's mine.
My parents? Who are my parents anyway?
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
What are you trying to do to this family?
You just stay around here to fuck my mother and eat her food.
Matt!
Oh, he moves!
You are a fucking asshole.
Try some
Jim, food. Jim.
Motherfucker, Jim. Food eater!
Say, I'm gonna shove that
hey,
up your
come
ass!
On.
Come on!
Come on!
You're out!
Come on, hit me! Come on.
A tough guy, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, show me how tough! Come on!
Shit!
There's nothing you can do.
Great.
You accepted it. It's over. Just finish it. Die like a man.
Father? Will you listen to me?
Your mother sits here with his cat.
Are you still there?
Would you like to leave a message?
Will you listen to a selfish and faithful son?
I see that she gets it.
I fought you when you called. I resisted. I thought of no more. I didn't want to be your son. Can you forgive me? I didn't fight hard enough. Father, give me your hand. I want to bring salvation. Father, take me back. Make a feast. Welcome me home. I want to be your son. I want to pay the price. I want to be crucified and rise again. I want to be the Messiah.
Talk to me. Empty your mind. Stop thinking.
You're making it worse.
I have nothing to work with. There's no shape, no definition, no color. Empty your mind, for fuck's sake. Look only at the still point. There's nothing but the still point. Shit!
And we are in the middle of listening to Gersten Hayward's radio theater piece, A Family Thing, here on the Montreal Sessions. It's 4:03 and 28 seconds. My name is Randolph Jordan. This is the 21st Century Schizophone, the July edition of the Montreal Sessions. We are going to continue now with the end of this piece, and then I'll talk a little bit more about that afterwards.
At the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards. At the still point, there the dance is, but neither the rest nor movement. And do not call it fixity, where past and future are gathered. Neither movement from nor towards, neither ascent nor decline. Except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance. And there is only the dance. I can only say there we have been. I cannot say where. And I cannot say how long, for that is to place it in time.
There you are. In science, there's always tomorrow. Don't patronize me, you pathetic old man.
Pathetic old man? You just never could stand up to pressure, young man.
Why? Don't I remember what you're like.
3 years, Sam.
Well, back then, like children.
3 years.
These are our children.
Oh, gosh.
They're our children.
Tim hasn't come home tonight. He's only 12 years old, Matt. It's past midnight. Where do my children go at night?
Well, not with friends.
Why are you suddenly so interested in who I'm going to see at night? Nighttime is nighttime.
I'm so thankful to have a daughter like you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Please.
blank. You should see me.
I'm going blind. Not yet, but soon. Maybe sometime this year.
Anymore. Their mothers. The family bond has been broken. It's an outcry for attention why kids are going to school with guns. They want love. They want to be touched. They want to be held. But they're busy off on their day job and, you know, and they leave them at home on the computer and they're just doing all kind of crazy stuff. And that's destroying our world. We need to bond again. That's very important, Martin.
Why does it mean so much to you?
My daughter Rose is, some people call her a little bit slow, but she's not. She's got a mind like a bear trap for facts. She keeps everything organized around the house. She was a real good mom. She had four kids. One night, somebody else was watching the kids, and there was a fire.
Fire.
Her second boy got burned real bad.
It started on its own. I didn't mean to. I was just thinking about the noise it made.
Rose had nothing to do with it, but on account of the way Rose is, the state figured she wasn't competent to take care of them kids, and they took them all away from her. There isn't a day goes by that she don't pine for them kids. When my kids were real little, I used to play a game with them. I'd give each one of them a stick, and one for each one of them. And I'd say, you break that. Of course, they could, real easy. Then I'd say, tie them sticks in a bundle, try to break that. Of course, they couldn't. Then I'd say, that bundle, that's family. Thank you.
Listen.
Listen.
Can you hear that?
I do love you. I have always loved you.
That was the everlasting moment he had been waiting for. And the moment had passed, for Monica was sound asleep. More than merely asleep. Should he shake her, she would never rouse. So David went to sleep too. And for the first time in his life, he went to that place where dreams are born.
You are listening to the Montreal Sessions here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are coming to you live from the summer picnic world of Angry Birds, Chrome Edition. We just finished up Gersten Hayward's hour-long radio theater piece, A Family Thing. Now we're going to take a little break and listen to some music. Here is Tony Scher, live from the living room.
Went out walking through the woods the other day, and the world was a carpet laid there for me. The buds were bursting and the air smelled sweet and strange, and it seemed about 100 years ago. Sit upon the gate, just gazing at some dragon in the sky. With tender days, we had no secrets hid away. Now that's seen about 100 years ago. Now all my friends are wearing worried smiles.
Was Tony Scher live from the living room in New York City. He plays every Monday night there, and I saw him not at the living room, but actually at the Stone, which is John Zorn's club, opened a couple of years ago in downtown Manhattan. He was doing a solo gig, and I had known that he was playing there, but I forgot. I go to New York a few times a year, and I just occasionally drop in at the Stone without necessarily knowing who's going to be playing there. And I didn't recognize him by sight, even though I knew him from playing with Bill Frisell quite a bit. And he was just here in Montreal last week, in fact, with Bill Frisell's band doing the music of John Lennon. Anyway, so we took some friends to the Stone just to see what was happening, and he was there, and there was one other person in the audience.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, so with that other guy, then there were four of us, and he started playing, and I was really struck, because I never heard him sing before. He plays bass usually when he's playing with Frisell, but here he was playing guitar and singing, and I thought it was really Impressive, actually. And then afterwards, he was, because we were so close to him and everything, he was asking us where we were from and stuff. And I said, I'm coming up from Montreal. And he said, oh, I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks playing with Bill Frisell. And then it clicked. And I was like, I have tickets to that show already.
Amazing. And hopefully more people will be there than the one show in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like his living room gigs, too, are pretty well attended, but this Stone thing is—it's a tiny club. There's no bar. It's interesting because it's curated. Each month, a different musician is in charge of booking the acts for the whole month.
That's cool.
And so it's the kind of thing where you can sort of drop in and expect to hear something, at least mildly.
So it's usually on the intimate side, anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think 50 people, maybe at most, you can fit in there.
Do you guys like pass a bottle around if there's no bar?
You're not allowed. And I've asked even to bring in coffee. The lady at the door is not so into that. Although she did let me bring my coffee in for Tony Scher, I think, because there was nobody else there.
Okay, that's cool. Nice.
Yeah, but so I thought that was a good number. That was 100 years ago, which actually apparently is a Rolling Stones song written by Jagger and Richards, but I'm sure this version is better. I don't know. Yeah, anyway. I don't like the Rolling Stones, but
I don't know. I don't know their version of it. You don't like the Stones?
Yeah. No, not particularly. I'm big on a lot of stuff from the era, but the Stones, I don't know.
We don't play the Stones on this radio station anyway, so you're among friends.
Okay.
Not that we don't appreciate, you know, Stonage and other peeps, but you know, no top 40 here, and that's kind of what that is. So,
Right. Anyway, but I thought it was appropriate because, in terms of how the lyrics go, especially it ends with the line, "Please excuse me while I hide away."
Right.
Kind of about a guy who doesn't really want to grow up and just wants to get away from things, which is the story of a lot of people who abandon their families, which was the subject of Gersten Hayward's piece, Family Thing. And now that it's done, I can reveal, and I'm coming out on the air here.
Do it. This is a safe space.
That Gersten Hayward is, in fact, me. That's a pseudonym I use, kind of a DJ name for work I make sample-based work. And I do a number of different kinds of things. One of them is like this, pieces which are supposed to be in the sort of radio theater vein, meaning that there is a sort of a narrative thread, there's talking. It doesn't really work, I don't think, so well as background stuff, but which is draws heavily on film sound, mm-hmm. although there are other things in there as well. There's some music woven in there as well, but most of what you heard there comes from a whole bunch of different films that I've taken extracts of dialogue where they're talking specifically about the situations, the tensions, the issues that arise when somebody leaves a family and is either gone or comes back suddenly, and then dealing with the fallout of that. And a lot of different kinds of movies are involved there. Anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but for a moment we'll take a break here and listen to an ad, if I can get this queued up properly this time. I think I can. Here we go.
Swanee Perry Popolo, CKUT, and Caribou Sonar present the François Hull 5, featuring Taylor Albinum, Samuel Blazer, Michael Bates, Harris Eisenstadt, and special guest Benoit Delbecq. Tuesday, July 3rd at the Casa del Popolo, 4873 Boulevard Saint-Laurent. This pan-continental ensemble draws together some of the world's finest creative musicians for an inspired summit of powerful hard bop, interlocking melodies, arching solos, and fire. The François Hull 5, special guest Benoit Delbecq, Tuesday, July 3rd, Casa del Popolo. Doors 8:30 p.m. Tickets $13 in advance, $15 at the door. Available at Casa del Popolo, Cheap Thrills, Monopolis, Oblique, Adam Hart, or online at www.casadelpopolo.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
And we're back with the birds. It's 4:36.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
That's right. And so this is the Montreal Sessions for July. I'm Randolph Jordan, doing a show I'm calling The 21st Century Schizophone. And so this piece that I made under the name Gersten Hayward, A Family Thing, fits the theme of the show, I think, because part of this thing about schizophrenia, if you missed the beginning of the show, this idea of the schizophone, based on a term by R. Murray Schafer, a Canadian composer and father of acoustic ecology, his term schizophrenia, which refers to the negative experience of sounds that have become separated from their sources by electroacoustical transmission. And of course, we live in a world today where we experience sound like that all the time, but for him, this is kind of a problem. And so that piece is designed in part to explore the medium of radio, as we talked about. It's kind of like I wanted it to be, especially at the beginning, as though you'd hit the scan button or sort of drifting across the dial, like catching bits and pieces of things. But then the connections sort of become more solid, almost as though perhaps you've fallen asleep. Mm-hmm. And now you're completely sort of free associating between the different things that you heard while scanning the radio while falling asleep.
And the narrative then becomes more cohesive and you get sort of grander themes. You pull grander themes from it.
Yeah.
At the end. Yeah. I definitely got these senses of like abandonment and abandonment loss and confusion and yeah. I'll throw that very sci-fi.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and so and part of what I'm interested in is that people might recognize a lot of the films, but then taken out of context and put alongside other films, which ordinarily you might not think of as related at all, mm-hmm. All of a sudden become connected through this theme of family, even though, you know, one film is a budget sci-fi from the 80s and another is, you know, something entirely different. So,
and then those cues, if you do recognize them, are triggering a whole other set of memories that have to do with those films and those other narratives and stuff. So,
yeah.
Hypertext, is that called hypertext?
Well, certainly intertextuality. Yeah, and that's you know, when I'm making the sample constructions, that's definitely what I'm interested in exploring. As is anybody who works with samples and the found footage. If you're a filmmaker or a DJ piecing bits and pieces of things together, usually you're wanting to create a new association between elements that people might recognize from different contexts. And again, so that's related to this idea of schizophrenia, where you know, when you hear something out of context, it can be disorienting. You know, and this goes back to the reason why we're listening to these Angry Birds right now. This is the Summer Picnic World, by the way, on the Chrome Edition.
It's a video game soundtrack, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, you don't know what Angry Birds is? Okay, so yeah.
Some people might not know what Angry Birds are, you know?
Yeah.
They're not just actually Angry Birds outside the the studio window.
Yeah. But I was prompted to bring these in part because of your story. I told this at the beginning, but how you were listening to, or if you thought you were listening to field recordings on the air here at CKUT while you were in your office, but it was just sound that was coming in through the window.
Yeah, it was disconcerting, and I laughed at myself and my confusion because longtime listeners of CKUT know that we definitely air stuff that just sounds like the natural world and the air around us, and that's exactly what was happening. I was listening to the sound of wind in the trees and birds on the branches, and it was actually just it was that, and it was actually trees and birds, not a field recording like I thought was going on over the airwaves. Anyway,
yeah. And that's a perfect example of R. Murray Schafer's nightmare, right? The type of situation he used as the term schizophrenia to describe that somebody could mistake the actual sounds of nature, like birds and wind, or to think that while hearing that you're listening to a recording, right, is for him a world gone absolutely bananas.
Well, I'm sorry to be his nightmare vision of a world.
Yeah.
I have a quick question about the handle that you're using for your sound pieces. So the name, can you say the name again that you recorded the previous piece under?
Gersten Hayward.
Gersten Hayward. And can you tell us a little bit about that name and why you chose it?
Yeah, that particular name I chose, it's the name of a character in Twin Peaks, David Lynch's television show Twin Peaks. And I was a huge fan, still am, but, you know, not quite as much as I was before. but Gersten Hayward appears only once in the show. Donna Hayward, if you know the show, is a Laura Palmer's best friend, a main character in every episode. She has two sisters, one Harriet, who appears here and there. But then in episode 8, the beginning of the second season, there's a finale where this third sister appears, Gersten Hayward, and she plays the piano while Laura Palmer's father, having recently gone a little bananas himself, wants to sing at a family dinner party. He's been suffering intense grief after the murder of his daughter, and all of a sudden he starts feeling fine, but it seems like a forced kind of a fine, and he wants to sing it. Come on, everybody, get happy. And Gersten Hayward is there on the family piano playing, and she's played by Alicia Witt, who's a very good actress, and she was quite young at that time. Also appeared in David Lynch's Dune, actually.
Okay.
Much, much younger, that being several years before. But she was actually playing the piano anyway during this scene. And it just struck a chord with me. I also play piano. I like the idea of this kind of a character. But it turns out that when I started spelling the name, I hadn't checked the credits, and I spelled it wrong. I spelled it with a Y-N instead of an E-N, as it's listed. But in the end, that's worked to my advantage, because now if you Google the name Gersten, even without Hayward, with a Y-N, you find me pretty quickly, because that's not really a name that
right.
seems to exist, spelled with Y-N, such as I did.
Gersten Hayward.
Gersten Hayward, yeah. Okay, so I just wanted to say a couple of things about the origin of the origin of the piece, which is going to lead into the next track that I'm going to close the show with. Originally, when I had this idea of making a piece which was going to use all film sound, and into soundscape research and acoustic ecology and stuff like this, and so I thought that I was going to make a piece which would consist entirely just of ambient sound, no dialogue, no music, just the sounds of the spaces that that open up in the sort of quiet moments of movies. But as I was mixing, you know, trying to find bits that I liked, inevitably, you know, there's some dialogue around that, and I started really enjoying some of these passages and the experience of hearing dialogue dissociated from actually watching it on the screen, just hearing people's voices with the ambiences mixed in. And then I started finding these connections and thinking that maybe the piece is going to become more of a narrative thing, which is very dialogue heavy in the end, but still, when you're using film sound, you're always dealing with ambience and music as well in the background. And so mixing around that, joining dialogue bits together while paying attention to the ambient sound, became very interesting for me. Nevertheless, I remain interested in the idea of making pieces that use only ambient sound from the films. And that's a segue into the piece I'm going to close the show with. A local artist, Alexandre Saint-Ange,
mm-hmm.
Who does sort of electronic stuff, released a piece, an album, some years ago called Casi Nigo, which is apparently, and I don't know enough about this to comment properly, but it's apparently entirely, he calls it an essay on the moments of silence from Ingmar Bergman's film of that name, The Silence. And I'm not familiar enough with that film or this album, in fact, to sort of really understand how much sound he took from the film and what stuff he's bringing to it. But it does, I know, contain sound from that film. It is structured around the idea of the silence as ambient sounds between moments of dialogue and music that appear in that film. So I'm going to play the title track from that CD. Now it runs about 13 and a half minutes. We'll get a sense of what somebody else is doing in this sort of realm of making pieces.
This is Angela Davis. You're listening to CKUT 90.3.
Angela, you're one of a million.
York. This is Democracy Now!
I've never won an election in the first round. I've won all of them in the second round.
We are going to form good alliances for us to win the election.
Brazil's far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro, threatened a coup if he didn't win Sunday's election against leftist former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. While Lula won a plurality of the vote, he did not get 50% in the 11-way race. So now they head to a runoff. We'll look at what this could mean for Brazil and the rest of the world with Vijay Prashad, just back from Brazil, and Professor Noam Chomsky in Brazil right now.
What happens in Brazil could be certain to have a large-scale effect on whether this mildly left social democratic tendency will continue to develop and evolve. That's very important on the international scene as well.
Professor Noam Chomsky has co-authored a new book with Vijay Prashad, The Withdrawal, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, and the Fragility of U.S. Power. We'll also talk with them about Ukraine.
There's got to be pressure on the Biden administration not only to back off and allow Zelensky and Putin to talk, to allow them to have some kind of peace agreement that's, you know, with dignity for all sides, but also the United States needs to go back to the table with the Russians and talk to them.
Vijay Prashad and Noam Chomsky for the hour. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. The